ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാനന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് താക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദയും ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശകാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരഭവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസിയാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിതന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേദൂതം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീർഷതാം തമോന്തം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിശംബദാം മുരാരേ മഹിന്ന കണികാവി കാവി കാവി നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ வந்தே நந்தவிரஜஸ்ரீநாம் பாதரேணுமபீஷ்டஷா யாசாம் ஹரிகதோத்கீதம் புனாதிபுவனத்ரயம் கோபீ சரணாரவிந்த பரமானவே நம. பீதாம்பரம் கரவிராஜித சக்கரக்ரம் கௌமோதகி சரசிஜம் கருணா சமுத்திரம் ராதா சகாயமதி சுந்தர மந்தஹாசம் வாதாலய சமைஷம் ஹிருதி பாவயாமி கோமளம் கூஜயன் வேணும் ஷியாமளோயம் குமாரகா வேதவேத்யபரம் பிரம்மா வாசதாம் புரதோ மம. மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் எல் கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய நம. ஸ்ரீமதி ராதிகாயே நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்தம். ஓம் பாத்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன கிரஜிதாம் புராண முனினாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிரத வர்ஷணி பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினிம் அம்ப த்வாம் அனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷணி. நமோஸ்து தே வியாச விசால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயுத பத்ர நேத்ர நத்வயா பாரத தைல பூர்ண பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஞானமய பிரதீபா பிரபன்ன பாரிஜாதாய தோத்ரவேத்ரைக பாணய ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிரத துஹே நம. சர்வ உபனிஷதோ காவோ துக்தா கோபால நந்தன பார்த்தோ வல்ச சுதீர் போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாமிரதம் மகத் வசுதே வசுதம் தேவம் கம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும். பீஷ்மத்ரோணகடாஜயத்ரதஜலா காந்தாரநீலோல்பல சல்யகிராஹவதீ கிருபேண வஹினி கர்ணேன வேலாகுலா அஸ்வத்தாமா விகர்ணகோரமகரா துரியோதனாவர்த்தினி சுதீர்ண கலு பாண்டவைரணநதி கைவர்த்தக கேசவ பாராசரியவஜசரோஜமமலம் கீதார்த்தகந்தோல்கடம் நானாக்கியானகேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜனஷல்பதைரஹர பேபீயமானம் முதா பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜக்கலிமல பிரத்வம்சினஸ்ரேயசே. மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கைதே கிரிம் எல் கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் யம் பிரம்மா மருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருத ஸ்வன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவே வேதை சாங்கபதை க்ரமோ உபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சமகாஹ தியானாவஸ்திதத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுசுரா சுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த. யோந்த பிரவிஷ்ய மம வாசமிமாம் பிரசுப்தம் சஞ்சீவயத்தேல சக்திதர சுதாம்நாம் அன்யாம் சஹஸ்தரணஸ்ரவணாம் சுகாதீம் பிராணான் நமோ பகவதே புருஷாய துப்யம் பூதேர் மஹத்பிரியை மா புரோ விபுர் துர்மாய சேதே யதமோஷு பூருஷ புங்கே குணான் ஷோடச ஷோடசாத்மகம் சோலம் கிருஷிஷ்ட பகவான் பஜாம்சி மே. பிரஹ்லாத நாரத பராசர புண்டரீக வியாசம் பைஷகுசவனக பீஷ்மதாபியான் ருக்மாங்கதார்ஜுன வசிஷ்ட விபீஷணான்யன் புண்ணியானி மான் பரமபாகவதான் ஸ்மராமி. ஸ்ரீ சுகபிரமர்ஷி இன் தி 20th சாப்டர் மென்ஷன்ஸ் தட் தி இன் தி 38th வெர்ஸ் 39th வெர்ஸ் ஷனேர் ஷனேர் ஜஹோ பங்கம் ஸ்தலான்யாமம் ஜ வீருதா யதாஹம் மமதாம் தீர ஷரீராதிஷு நால் அனாத்மசு. He says that spiritually advanced people, they relinquish their identification with the body, means me and mine, adhyasam. How they do, similarly, the trees who have fruits on them relinquish the mud and aham mamadha dira stala nyamam cha virutha yadaham mamadha dira shariradi shariradi shanalmasu means in the rainy season everything gets muddy and similarly fruits won't ripen faster. When the Sharad season came, the things changed. So the Sridharacharya Swamiji says there that the mamatvam or attachment, how spiritually advanced people, how they give up their attachment, that attachment is compared to the mud. How the mud is given up by the trees, they dry up and the mud goes away. Similarly, in the spiritually advanced, people who are advancing in the spiritual path, they give up, the attachment in them leave them like the mud leaves the land. The land gets muddy with the water, with the rain, and when the autumn season or Sharad comes, that gradually the mud disappears. Similarly, people who are advancing on the spiritual path, in them, this attachment is the mud. Mamada, attachment is the mud. That attachment gradually leaves them and goes away from them. You don't leave them, they leave you. That's the way it is. Because attachment is like that in everything, isn't it? Attachment is a thing which is in the mind. Something you consider as very important and you feel you have a strong relationship with that person or an object or anything. It is in the mind. If it leaves us, attachment is gone. So that's what he's saying there. That the so he's comparing that mamatvam towards the mud. Mamatvam is compared to the mud. And ahanda, ahangaram inside, is the apakvada. In a sense that apakvada is the ahanda. Ahanda is apakvada. Apakvada means immaturity. Due to lack of matured understanding of life, ahangaram comes in us. Due to lack of proper understanding of life. That's why ahangaram comes. Yeah. So ahanda, and that is called apakvada, immaturity. Yeah. So that's what he's saying here. Yadaham mamato mamadam dhira shariradishu analmasu. Sharira shariradishu analmasu. In shariram anatma vastu. In anatma vastu. Yeah. And that analmatvam in shariram is leaving him. So mamatvam towards that mud and ahanda towards the avakvada or immaturity. Sridharacharya Swamiji explains it that way. That's his explanation for that. So the fruits which were in rainy season not ripening is ripening now when the Sharad season comes. So that means the fruits have left its apakvada and became pakvam. Pakvam means ripened. Right? Yeah. It ripens in the Sharad season. In the similar way, we have to understand that the like the fruits have left their apakvada and became pakvam. In the same way, Sridhara Swami says here, apakvada is like ahanda, ahangaram inside. That ahangaram goes away and the person becomes spiritually mature. Spiritually he becomes mature. All so Krishna Bhakti does these things, right? How a Krishna Bhakta or a devotee through bhakti, he relinquishes ahanda and mamada. He is able to give up ahanda and mamada through bhakti. And that's what is compared here. Shanir shanir jahu, pangam. It's all done very slowly, it happens. Shanir shanir jahu pangam, salanyamam ja virutha, yada aham mamadam dhira, sharir adishu analmasu. He says. So, trees or plants, their fruits, their avakvavasa means that not ripened state, that is changed and their fruit started ripening in the autumn season. Similarly, the mud started drying up and fruit started becoming ripened, right? So that's what the comparison is. Then, next verse, Nishchalambura-bhu-tushnim, samudra-sharad-agame, alpanyubarade-samyak-munir-vibarada-agama. Like, when the mind becomes very shandi, when shandi comes to the mind, the muni leaves all the fruitive activities. When shandi comes to the mind, right? Similarly, Muni does not pursue Vedam anymore. After that, he doesn't require. So, when the mind becomes peaceful, he gives up the fruitive activities, Kamikarmam and Vedagosham. It means Kamikarmam and Vedagosham are connected to each other. Vedagosham means sacrifices, Karmagandam in the Vedam. And that Karmagandam in the Vedam is only applicable when you have Kamam inside. Because it is fruitive activity. It's in Kamikarmam it is. Karmagandam is Kamikarmam. So, Muni or a Rishi, when he become free from Kamya Karmam, he does not require any more Karmagandam. That's what he is saying there. Nishchala Ambirabhu Tushnim Samudra Sharadagami Alpman Yubarade Samyak Munir Yubaradagada. That means he gives up chanting of the Vedam in the Karmagandam of the Vedam because Kamya Karmam is not there anymore. And due to that, he can only do that when all the desires leaves him, which means his mind has become very in shanti state. Mind has become very shanti state. Similarly, when the autumn season came, the ocean also became very peaceful and came into a peaceful state, in other words. Yeah. In the rainy season, the waves in the ocean are much more powerful. The ocean makes a lot of noise because of the rain and plenty of water, there's heavy waves also in the ocean, right? So basically, huge waves comes during the rainy season and the wind as well. And also a lot of water comes through the rivers to the ocean, right? And ocean gets agitated at that time. Then when the autumn season comes, when the rainy season is over, the ocean becomes gradually peaceful and high waves won't happen, right? And ocean becomes shandi and no waves comes in. Similarly, yogi also, after he has finished his education in the Vedam, Vedabhyasam, how he has become peaceful inside through the Vedic literature. He has become peaceful inside and then he goes into the state of Samadhi and in the self-realized state, he gives up his practice of reciting the Vedam, everything. He has become very internal and he has gone into the Samadhi state. And at that moment, the mind completely dissolves in the self and he becomes peaceful, and a yogi reaches that state, and that is compared to the ocean. Like the ocean in the rainy season is full of waves and loads of water comes in, and heavy rain and wind, everything agitates the ocean very much. Later on, when the rainy season is over, the flow of water from the rivers also comes down. Ocean gradually becomes very peaceful. The waves become very little waves in the ocean. Similarly, what he is saying is that the the yogi also, after going through this Veda Ghosham, through the recitation of the Vedam and studying the Vedam, Karmakandam, everything, all his desires have left him and he has become very peaceful inside, and then he is able to absorb himself in the process of self-realization, Atmanubhuti. And he completely absorbs in the in self-realization, giving up everything else. So he has become free from the Karmakandam side of the Vedam, and he has moved on to the Jnanakandam. In other words, that's what he is referring to. From Karmakandam section, he has moved on to the Jnanakandam. Karmakandam is full of activities, performing several sacrifices for fulfilling the desires. It is in the Karmakandam. Now the desires have gone, and that means he has finished with the Karmakandam. And slowly he has realized inside that self-realization is more important. So he has absorbed in the realization of the self. That means he has left the karma sadhana and he has taken to jnana sadhana. That means more into process of realizing the truth. That's what he's saying there. Then, Kedarebhyastapoghnan karshaka drata sedhubhi yadha pranay sravat jnanam tan nirodhena yogina. The yogis, they block the flow of the knowledge which goes away from them by blocking the senses. Through senses, it is possible that when the senses becomes absorbed in the sense objects, the knowledge inside gets dissipated through them. Knowledge of the self, yeah? That's what he's saying here, that the by sense control, they don't allow their understanding or the realization to lose through the senses, to the sense objects. Instead, similarly, the comparison is, the farmers, they build small bridges all over and stops the water going away from the field, because water is required to stand in the field for the plants to grow. So that's what he is saying there. Farmers do like that, is it not? When the water has come into the field, they make the small dams like thing, bunds, so that the water doesn't flow away from the field. It's not raining, but sun is shining, and so therefore they have to keep the water staying in the field for the plants to grow, right? Similarly, it's a comparison. The Shobhramashi is giving comparison. How? Through sense gratification, our spiritual understanding of life, spiritual knowledge, and self-realization goes away through sense gratification. Once we engage in sense gratification, the knowledge of the self leaks through the senses. And sense gratification stops us from realizing the truth, knowledge of the self, right? So what they do? They control the senses and don't allow the mind to flow freely into the sense objects. They block it. Just like the farmers block the field, not allowing the water to go. In the same way, the knowledge of the self also, if you don't control the senses or stop the senses or block the senses, the mind will take away the knowledge of the self and it will go through the mind to the sense objects. That's what he's saying here. That's what yogis do, right? So, pranan and the senses, when they start going into the sense objects, knowledge of the self also will go along with that to sense gratification. Because knowledge of the self is not intellectual knowledge. It is a certain strength that comes inside from spiritual advancement. Yeah. So when the senses goes after sense objects and starts experiencing sense enjoyment, what happens is the identification with the body increases. This is the problem. Identification with the body increases, and with that, dehabhimanam will become stronger. And when the senses goes into sense objects, you will lose your knowledge of the self. And therefore, a first-class sadhaka, uttama sadhaka, he will always keep senses under control. He knows that if he allows the senses to freely enjoy, his spiritual strength, he will lose it. How? He will start identifying with the body. Sense enjoyment creates that problem. It increases our bodily identity, with the bodily identity. And when you increase the bodily identity, your knowledge of the self, your spiritual strength weakens, right? Knowing this, intelligent sadhakas, one who are very intelligent in sadhana, they prevent this of losing the knowledge of the self by controlling the senses. You get the point? It's a little subtle thing, but if you think you can understand what it means, right? That these two things can't go side by side. Unlimited sense gratification and self-realization. They won't work together. You have to stop this to advance in this. Or you leave this and do the other one. Two things cannot go side by side. This is the principle. Rishis are very firm on that point. Krishna also says the same thing. Isn't it? So that's the comparison here. Knowing well that spiritual advancement, self-realization requires sense control. If you are completely stop it, it strengthens the knowledge, whatever you are acquiring gradually, that will become strengthened inside. If you stop the other one, the sense gratification. But if you, so therefore what they do, what he's saying here is that when the senses goes towards sense objects, this sadhaka who knows this principle, knowing well that he will lose his spiritual strength, and in order to stay firm in his spiritual realization, he controls his senses, and in that way he minimizes the losses of the knowledge of the self. Atmajnana, not nashtam, he stops that. That's what that means, right? Sharadarkam Shuyam Stavan Bhudana Mudbo Harat Dehabhimanajam Bodho Mugundo Vrajayo Shidam. due to heat of the sun in the Sharad season, In the night, the moon comes, and moon has a cooling effect, right? So through Dehabhimanam, identification with the body, we suffer in material life. It's all because of identification with the body, isn't it? So samsara pitha, it's called. Pitha means suffering through material existence. And that is due to Dehabhimanam, right? And that pain what you experience through material existence and identification with the body, you become free from that problem through self-realization and Atma Tattva Jnanam, knowledge of the self, right? Through knowledge of the self. That's what that's saying, that through Dehabhimanam and identification with the body, material life gives us a lot of pain, suffering in this world. And that is taken away from us by self-realization and knowledge of the self, Atma Tattva Jnanam. How it takes it away. Similarly, during the day, the sun creates a lot of heat. But in the night, Sharad season, when the moon comes, he gives us a cool shine, moonshine, and calms it down. Just like our material suffering due to bodily identity is taken away by the knowledge of the self. By the knowledge of the self, right? So, and another comparison given there is, by Krishna's presence, how the gopis felt the feeling of separation. In the same way. When Krishna comes, gopis felt relieved inside. And they were feeling separation before from Krishna. Virahadapam. And they were suffering from that. By Krishna's arrival, they have forgotten that and they all became very happy in the same way. So those two comparisons there. Then, Khamasho Bhadadarmekham Sharad Vimaladaragam Sattva yuktam yathajitam shabda brahmartha darshanam. When the chittam becomes sattva guna pradhanam, when in the chittam there is a lot of sattva gunam, then Vedam will be revealed to him. That means the meaning of all the Vedic knowledge he will capture easily. When you have a sattva guna pradhana chittam, when you have a chittam dominated by Sattvagunam, you will capture the very subtle knowledge of the Vedic literature. Similarly, the Akasham also, in the Sharad season, everything is clear and they were able to see all the stars in the sky in the Sharad season. And that is compared to a person who has developed a lot of satugunam in the chittam and how he is able to absorb everything of the knowledge in the Vedam. When there is not a lot of clouds in the sky, the moon will be very clear in the sky, right? Similarly, in the when there is no clouds, right? When there is a clear sky, how the moon shines in the sky. Similarly, if our buddhi is not impure, in other words, in our buddhi, impurities are not there in the buddhi. Then Puramimamsa, what they have spoken in the Vedam, the meaning of that will become clearer to us. What it means is that this Vedam, the difficulty is this, Veda Artham, yeah? Vedam you can recite, the hymns, you can recite the Vedam, that's not difficult. That if they will teach you how to recite the Vedam, that's being taught to the children. And it is Shabda Brahmam, sound wise, isn't it? It's Shabdam it is. So, pronunciation is important. That means when Vedam comes out from your mouth, it shouldn't be without any mistakes in them. The sound should be proper, the way it is pronounced should be proper. You can't change it. So, the teachers try very hard for the students to speak the Vedic hymns precisely without any mistakes. They have to train. And that's the training goes on in the Vedapadashalas and all that. They teach the children how to recite the Vedam without mistakes. Because Vedam is Shabda Brahmam it is. So if the Shabdam is not right, that means the effect can change. There won't be any effect, or effect could be very faulty as well. But the meaning of those Vedic hymns, to get it, just intelligence alone is not, thinking power is not sufficient to get the meaning. Chinda Shakti alone is not sufficient, right? Buddhi has to become highly pure. And that means buddhi should be free from all impurities. Only then the meaning of these Vedic hymns will become clearer in his mind. This is a problem. Recitation of the Vedic hymns is possible. Recitation is possible, but to get the message in that hymns, to get it, the buddhi has to be very pure. Buddhi has to be very pure, right? So, in that purified intelligence, both Purvamimamsa and Uttaramimamsa, Purvamimamsa is Jaimini, Uttaramimamsa is Vedantam, which is Vedavyasa Maharshi. They have spoken, in Purvamimamsa is Karma Tattva, Uttaramimamsa is Brahma Tattva. Understand that, right? Purvamimamsa is Karma Tattva, Uttaramimamsa is Brahma Tattva. These two tattvam will be clearer in a person whose intelligence is pure. Purified intelligence. So, the students, in the beginning, Shabda Brahmam, they learn how to recite without flaws. And they'll be trained for that for 8 to 10 years. They continuously train how to recite the particular section of the Vedam which they belong to. But then, when they get to a certain age, slowly they will start understanding what that hymns meant, what they were studying all those years, by 15, 18, like that. At that time, when they want to understand the meaning of what they have studied all these years, and the teacher explains to them, for them to capture that, they require a pure intelligence. That's what he's saying here. Sattva yuktam yatha chittam shabda brahmartha darshanam. In one line, that's what it is spoken. Shabda brahmartha darshanam. Shabda brahmam it is. Vedam is shabda brahmam. It's artha darshanam. It's meaning. Artha means the meaning. And realizing that artham. He says, sattva yukto yatha chittam. Or the chittam should be such that sattva gunam, should be there in the subtle body to a very higher level to understand the meaning of that. Otherwise, they can recite the Vedam, but they may not understand them, the very subtle side of that Vedic knowledge. They won't be able to get it. So that's what he's saying here. Sattva yuktam yatha chittam shabdam brahmartha darshanam. It says, this Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa is the Vedartham. Purva Mimamsa is Karmakandam. Uttara Mimamsa is Jnanakandam. And it is the analyzing these two, Karmakandam and Jnanakandam, that is how you understand the essence of the meaning or the Vedam, right? For Purva Mimamsa, its darshanam, or Purva Mimamsa philosophy, you can say, the foundation is Jaimini's Mimamsa Sutra, Karma Mimamsa Sutra. They call it as Karma Sutra sometimes, right? Uttara Mimamsa or Vedandam is the foundation for that is Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra, written by Vedavyas. So, Karma Gandam in the Vedam and its meaning is established or its meaning is analyzed and found out by through Purva Mimamsa. That means with the support of Jaimini's Karma Sutram, you understand the Karmakandam in the Vedam. Karmakandam refers to Dharma, Dharma Tattva, right? Jnanakandam refers to Brahma Tattva. Again, Dharmam, Brahmam. Like in the Bhagavatam. Brahma, Janmadhyaya Seda is a Brahma Tattva. Dharma Projita Karma is a Dharma Tattva. Through Dharmam, Dharmam is a vehicle. Brahmam is a goal. Karmam is a vehicle. And Brahmam is the goal. So, this Brahma Tattva, Karma Ganda Tattva, meaning is referring to basically Dharma Tattva. And Brahma Tattva is the Upanishads, what is called as Jnana Gandam in the Vedam, right? That is the Uttara Mimamsa or Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutra discusses that aspect, Jnana Gandam, right? So Uttara Mimamsa's foundation is Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutra, where the meaning of the Upanishads are discussed and established. So, Upanishads are the core of Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram, which Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled, right? So, and what Vedavyasa Maharshi gave us through Brahma Sutram, and other rishis, they have come and taken that and then expanded on that. And they have created other literature as well from that, but at this moment only Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram is available. Many other books have been lost, right? So what is Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram? It is nothing but Upanishad's message is studied and analyzed. That is Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram. Artha Vijaram, they call it. Artha Vijaram means taking the message from Upanishads and Vijaram and reflecting on that and coming to some conclusions, and that's what Vedavyasa Maharshi has done. So, Brahma Sutram is not much different from Upanishads. Upanishads' knowledge he has taken, scrutinized it, analyzed it, and came up with his conclusions on that, and that is Brahma Sutram. Similarly, Jaimini did the same thing. He took the Karmakandam part of the Vedam. And Karmakandam, there is Brahmanam, they are called Brahmanam. That Brahmanam, he has done the Arthavijaram on that. And that is discussed in the Purva Mimamsa. And he Jaimini established the message of the Karmakandam through Karma Mimamsa or Karma Sutram, right? And so Jaimini established that Dharma Tattvam is what is spoken in the Karmakandam, is spoken in the Karmakandam. Brahma Tattvam spoken in the Jnanakandam. So if we remember that too, Dharmam spoken in the Karmakandam, Jnanam spoken in the Brahma Sutram, right? Brahma Sutram was analyzed and established by Vedavyasa Maharshi, and Karma Sutram was analyzed and established by Jaimini. In this way, Purva Mimamsa is Dharma Tattvam, and Uttara Mimamsa is Brahma Tattvam. Dharmam is a vehicle without which you cannot go to the Brahma. So both this, Dharma Tattvam and Brahma Tattvam, will shine in a person in whom there is a lot of Sattva Guna. That's the only way it will work. This is why you can't change any of these things. You just have to go along with that, right? Just by translating into English, everybody will learn and understand it. That this is not the process. That is not the process. Process is exactly like the way they have done. That when there is Sattvagunam inside, you will understand all these things. Otherwise, you won't understand it. That's what he is saying there. It is a warning to all to make us aware that the Dharma Tattvam and Brahma Tattvam is only will shine in a person who has developed sufficient Sattvagunam in him. Sattvagunam is the, that is why Krishna is saying, Sattval Sanjayare Jnanam, he says, Ekadasha Skandam. Isn't it? Why did he say like that? Sattval Sanjayare Jnanam, otherwise, not Rajonam Sanjayare Jnanam or Tamoguna Sanjayare Jnanam, Sattval Sanjayare Jnanam, he says. Only when Sattvagunam builds up in a person, he will understand this, what Vedam is saying. Till then, he is just beating around the bush around that. So, that is what it is. Next verse. Akhandamandalo vyomni rajodugane shashi yatha yadubadi krishno vrishni chakravrudo bhuvi. How Krishna was surrounded by the Yadavas in the earthly planet. Similarly, in the space, in the sky, the moon was covered by the stars. The moon was covered by the moon was surrounded by the stars, just like Krishna was surrounded by the Yadavas around, he says. So so yeah. in the Sharad season, in the blue sky, all the stars appear. Just like among the Yadavas, Krishna was appeared. Ashlisha samashidoshnam prasunavanamarudam janastavam jahur gopyo na Krishna krita cheta saha. That in Vrindavanam, it wasn't very hot in the Sharad season, and the breeze that was coming. It has touched the flowers all over, and with that breeze, people felt a lot of relief from the heat. They didn't feel the heat, right? Only gopis who were affected by Krishna. Krishna has stolen their hearts. Only they experienced the heat. And in their heart, they embraced Krishna. And in that way, they became free from their distress. They became free from their distress, right? So, in the Sharad season, due to the breeze, which was carrying the aroma of the flowers as well, because of that breeze, people they became free from their distress of bodily distress and mental distress, both of them. But gopis who felt separation from Krishna didn't feel any relief from that. So, on the other hand, this breeze was creating more problem for them, thinking about Krishna, and they made their feeling of separation much more intense, they felt, right? What it is indicating is, for a devotee, this gopi is not an example for that, for a devotee, the external nature, any changes happens there, is not going to solve his internal problems. Even if the weather condition improves, if a devotee feels separation from Krishna, and he is feeling that separation, and he does not get a relief by getting a better weather outside, that's what it's pointing out, right? So, for a devotee, only relief is when Krishna gets closer to him. When he gets closer to Krishna, and Krishna gives him some happiness from inside, only then a devotee feels relief. He won't feel relief because the weather has got better. And that is what is indicated. Whereas all devotees, we are happy to have a... We feel, that means we are not devotees, we have not become devotees, we are just... If the weather is good, we say, oh, it's a nice day, and we feel happy, but that's not a devotee. Devotees shouldn't be feeling happy because of the things what happens in the nature. Karmis feel happy from all that. Isn't it? So that's the point he's making here. Devotee won't feel happy because the weather got better. Whether it's summer or winter, it makes hardly any difference to a devotee. Devotee wants something, recognition from Krishna. Krishna, he wants Krishna to accept him as a devotee. That's what he is looking for. He is not looking for weather changes. This way or that way, it doesn't matter to him either way. But when we are in the bodily identity, that's what happens, isn't it? We feel all that is important. So, Gavo mrga khaga narya pushpinna sharada abhavan anviyamana suvrushai bhaleri shakriya ivam. These cows, similarly the deer, these are the animals in Vrindavanam at that time, similarly the birds, and all of them, and the women, they all became pregnant during this Sharad season, right? Cows, all the cows became pregnant, and similarly, birds, women, all of them, even though they didn't want to be pregnant, but being followed by their husbands, and due to their pressure or due to their demands, that they became pregnant, right? And karmam, which are meant for Ishwara Aradhana, for pleasing Krishna, how their results come in due course of time. Those karma, means the karma which is meant for offered to Krishna, samarpana buddhi, with samarpana buddhi, right? And they became fruitive activities later. So, somebody does certain karma, right, with samarpana buddhi, as an offering to Krishna. And whether he wants it or not, in course of time the results come. He does not want it. He has done it with samarpana buddhi. He then done some karma to please Krishna with a samarpana buddhi. But the results had come later on. He did not want it. He didn't want it. He did it with samarpana buddhi. To please Krishna, he did a certain karma. He didn't want any results from that. But karma always will bring results. So, when it is done with samarpana buddhi, whether he likes it or not, he will, in due course of time, the results of his karma will follow him. The results will come to him. He didn't want it because he has done it to please Krishna. So that means he doesn't want any results. Krishna should be pleased. That's all the idea was. But because it karma was done, the result must come. It may not come immediately, but some other time it might come. So what happened now is, he has done the karma and he has forgotten it. He has tried to please Krishna, done the karma, left it. But the result is not going to leave him. It will follow him. And some point in time, it will come back to him. The results, right? Similarly, any karma done to please Krishna, whether you want to have results or not, the results will follow you. Right? So this karma, whether it is done on a material level or on a spiritual level, it will never go without results. Results must come from that, right? And that will come back to him in its own time, in its own way. That's very difficult to say how it comes back, right? So similarly, through Chitta Shuddhi, when you become purified, Chitta Shuddhi, through that you get bhakti. And through that bhakti, you develop knowledge of the self, jnanam. And through jnanam, you get liberated at the end, moksham, right? It will come to him. If he continuously does it, sadhana bhakti or vasana, he continues to life, the result must come. Immediately you may not get it, but it has to come at some point in time. This is what the message is. Chitta Shuddhi will come, and through Chitta Shuddhi bhakti will come, and through bhakti jnanam will come, and through jnanam liberation will come. It will follow one after the other, right? In this way, any karma what is performed to please Krishna is for both bhogam and moksham. It is bhogam moksha pradam, it is, right? A devotee is pleasing Krishna, is doing his sadhana, upasana, whatever it may be, and he is not expecting any results, proper devotee, right? But even though he does not want any results from that, he is not thinking about the results. He is just doing it somehow to please Krishna. So, but the result cannot go away. He has done the karma, so result must follow. That's what he is saying here. And in the similar way, and that can come in bhogam and moksham form, it will come back to him, right? So, so it doesn't mean that, oh, spiritual life is all a waste of time. I wasted all my life in spiritual life. You shouldn't think like that, because it's a karma. You have performed that. Maybe you didn't expect any results. You have done that. But the results must come. That's the law. Karma, right? And you cannot stop that. Whether the sadhaka or one who is doing upasana, whether he likes it or not, bhogam and moksham will follow him later on, right? Similarly, and Shukha Brahmashri is comparing that in the power of this autumn season, Sharad, due to its power, even though people didn't want it, still birds, animals and the women, they all became pregnant. That's the way it is said. That they didn't want it, but they all became pregnant. Yeah? Just like this. That they didn't want it, they were not thinking about it, but they all became pregnant. Because of the power of the season's impact on the people. The season's impact. That's what he's talking about. right? Then, next verse. Udahrshyanvari jani suryothane kudum kumudvina rajyado nirbhaya loga yadha dasyun vinanrupa. All people became very happy except the thieves, because they had a powerful king. When the king is powerful, everyone is happy. When the administration is strong, isn't it? It's natural. When the administration is very good and strong, the subjects also become very happy, except the thieves. Similarly, what it says is that there is one flower, I think it's called lily. Along with the lotus it comes. Lotus and the lilies, both in the water. Lilies. All of them they come in the evening when the sun sets. These lilies, right? And in the morning when the sun rises, they close. Opposite to the lotus flower. Lotus flower opens up in the morning, and in the evening, it closes. Nowadays, all this is not... people don't take notice of all these things, isn't it? One family went from Kerala to Bombay. And the children grew up in Bombay, right? In the city, right in the middle. So one day the father thought that I should teach my children where the children only knew that the rice, everything comes from the supermarket. He didn't know anything else, right? He has not seen the rice fields, how the rice is grown, how much time it takes for the rice to grow. All these things are unknown to him. Because he grew up in the city. So he had no knowledge of it. So father thought, I should give him some understanding that where the rice is grown. So he brought him to the village and took him around and showed him, this is the tree where the rice comes from, he says. Showing into the rice fields, he's showing to them. Similarly, you can see all these things only if you grow in a natural environment, if you live, you will understand all these comparisons, what is spoken there. It's difficult otherwise. Suppose you have gone right in the... born in the city, lived in the city, died in the city. You will never know what happened in the villages, isn't it? So this is a very difficult situation. Similarly, a king who is very fixed in dharmam, dharmishtha, when such a king has the administration, the people are very happy to live without fear. They don't have to be frightened about the thieves. And they can live in a very relaxed way at that time. At that moment, the dacoits and thieves, they cannot come out because of the strong administration of the king. The lilies, they close down in the morning when the sun rises. Lotus opens up in the morning and closes in the evening. This king is considered compared to a sun. And when his administration goes on, these dacoits and thieves, they become frightened, and therefore others can live peacefully. The subjects can live peacefully. In his administration, the thieves cannot freely move around. They are in trouble. So, they will be crushed by the king. Next verse. Pura grameshu agrayanai aindriyaisya maholsavai babhau bhu pakkosasyadhyam kalabhyam nidharam hare. Trees, when they become with fruits and flowers, everything, the land became land which includes both villages and the towns, they became very active with different festivals, village festivals and the festivals in the town. That included both village festivals. Also, festivals are different types, isn't it? Some festivals are for just enjoyment, that is materialistic festivals. And other festivals are Vaidigam, which is related to spiritual life, right? So both type of festivals became very prominent. And then he says, by their appearance, Ramakrishna and Balaram, Vrindavanam became very a festival-like feeling created there, right? Then you will see mentioned there, Agrayanam. Puragrameshu Agrayanai. Agrayanam means the rice or wheat, whatever that is produced new, fresh one, the first harvest. The first harvest. The fresh ones. Not the old one, the fresh one, right? So that is called Agrayanam, right? Agrayanam is a Vaidika karma, it is. Agrayanam, right? In Agnihotram also, Brahmanas have Agnihotram, right? They have to take this fresh rice that's been brought from the field, right? And with that they grind it, and then they create the what is known as Havisa for their homam, for Agnihotram. That is a requirement for them. And so Agnihotri is they are called, who performs Agnihotram. The Agnihotris do that. Similarly with flowers and fruits fresh from the trees. And with all that, Agnihotram going on, the villages and the towns looked very beautiful with their activities, right? And similarly, due to presence of Balaram and Krishna, Vrindavanam also looked very beautiful. Last words. Vaning Muni Nirbasnada Nirgamyarthan Prabhedire Varsharuddha Yatha Siddha Sopindan Kalama Agade. Those who have performed mantram, chanting mantras, and through yoga process, they became perfect. Some people, yeah, who have become perfect, they, in course of time, the results of this perfection is that they get elevated to different bodies, higher level, divyadeham. They get promoted to heavenly planets or to kinnaras, charanas, gandharvas, in different stages. You get promoted from the human body to a higher body, right? Similarly, due to rainy season, business people, sannyasis, brahmacharis, kings, they could not go out because of the rainy season, right? But now, when the rainy season has gone, the Sharat has come, they all came out. They started engaging in their business, right? Due to rainy season, they could not travel freely, all of them, brahmacharis, sannyasis, and business people, and even the king. But when the Sharat season came, they all became free to travel freely everywhere. So, there he is saying that the yoga siddhis, they have yoga siddhis, right? Those who performed yoga processes. And they became perfection. That is called siddhi, yoga siddhi, right? And these siddhis will produce its results not while living now in this body. When you leave this body after your lifespan is over, at that time the result starts coming in the form of new bodies, which will be on a higher, superior bodies, better bodies than this, what we have now. Higher bodies means the higher demigod's body or in the body in another planet in a superior state, right? So, rainy season, they could not go out, who brahmacharis and others, due to the muddy roads and travelling was difficult, right? Similarly, one reason sannyasis don't go out is the chances of killing other living entities when there is rainy season is more than during the summer season or dry season, right? So therefore, that is the reason why they don't go out, brahmacharis and sannyasis. Businessmen, because they cannot transport the goods, they don't travel at that time. And similarly, for kings, for them to travel around and to attack other kingdoms is also not possible during the rainy season, right? So, sannyasis perform chaturmasyam and they stay in the ashram or some village, right? Even they are parivrajakas who are moving around, or if they are those sannyasis who are living in the mat, both of them observe chaturmasyam during the rainy season. And that's also give them some time for engaging in sadhana intensely. That's the benefit of chaturmasyam. They are living in one place, so you can do things in a very very determinedly. You can do things, right? So chaturmasyam. So those sannyasis who are living in the matham, they will stay in the matham, they won't go anywhere, and they will do very solid sadhana in these 4 months' time. Intense sadhana. And chaturmasyam helps them for that. But sannyasis who are wandering around, parivrajakas they are called, they will go to some grahasthas who look after sannyasis, dharmishtas, who follows dharmam, and they maintain these sannyasis, right? Or they will stay with the householders, or they will stay in a temple nearby. That was the system. Brahmacharis will live in the Gurukulam. They won't go outside very much for bhiksha. And when the Sharad season comes, all that problems gone. Sannyasis, brahmacharis, business people, king, everybody comes out and start doing different things, right? So, the yogis who have practiced yogam, yoga abhyasam, right? And due to that, they will get some siddhis. It's automatically, it comes to them. Yoga siddhis come to them, right? And that those things will follow them, right? And but when the death comes, the body has gone, right? They'll have them till they leave the body. In this particular body, when their prarabdham is finished, they have to leave whatever body they have at the moment, right? So what they're saying is, he leaves the body, and these yoga siddhis, what he has acquired through yoga processes, right? He follows with them to the next body with the yoga siddhis, right? And in their case, the siddhis that they have acquired in this life, when the body gone away, the siddhis follow them with them to the next body, whatever. That means they get elevated due to the yoga processes. Yeah. In the Sharad season, everyone comes out. So, in this season, studying season, lot of Adhyalpa Vishayam, matters related to spiritual life, is discussed in this chapter. Which one? 20th chapter. Right? Alpanalpa Vivegam. How to understand the self and the non-self. And this is quite normal in Bhagavatam. Any story if you take in the Bhagavatam, you will find this Alpanalpa Vivegam. To know the difference between the soul and the matter that is spoken. In any stories, it is there, right? Including Rukmini's marriage to Krishna. Alpanalpa Vivegam is discussed in that even. So, Shuka Brahmarshi is trying to get this point across to us that the matter and the self are two different things. There in that marriage issue, marriage happened, right? Rukmini's marriage. What happened was Balaram, there is an instruction there. Balaram talking to Rukmini. Probably you will remember that, yeah? Yeah. Balaram giving instructions to Rukmini. And there also Balaram talks about Alpanalpa Vivegam to Rukmini. Rukmini protested, isn't it? So Rukmini was having problem with Balaram. Balaram did a lot of things and Krishna says to Balaram, you shouldn't have done that after all, because Krishna wanted to please Rukmini. So he said like that, right? So, this Alpanalpa Vivegam, difference between soul and the matter, is an important topic in the Bhagavatam, to make us understand soul exists. Soul is the truth. Body is not the truth. Matter is not the truth, right? So, Bhagavatam is Brahmavidya, it is. Brahmavidya, right? It is known as Gayatri, but Brahmavidya in the Gayatri form is Bhagavatam. Brahmavidya in the Gayatri form is Bhagavatam, right? And what is discussed is the knowledge of the Vedam. Vedartha Nirupanam it is called. That means the message in the Vedam is analyzed and reviewed through Bhagavatam. What is that called? Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means knowledge of the self. Yeah? Brahmatattvam means that includes, right? But what is Brahmavidya means? Brahmavidya means Brahmatattvam first. What is Brahma? Right? Then all the vibhudis of the Brahma, Ishvara vibhudis. And then the process by which you reach that Brahmatattvam, sadhana process, to reach the Brahmatattvam. These three things, Brahmatattvam, vibhudis and the sadhana process, all these three things combined together is called Brahmavidya. Brahmatattvam, then vibhudis, Krishna's vibhudis, Brahma is Krishna, Krishna's vibhudis, and the sadhana process to get to Krishna. These three things, if you combine them together, that's what is called Brahmavidya. And this is all what is discussed in the Bhagavatam from beginning to end in different ways, right? If you keep on reading Bhagavatam and study it carefully, you will notice this. Everything is falling under one of these three, right? Then, Sachidananda Brahmam, Brahma Tattvam, one. Then Bhagavan Krishna's Leelas are his vibhuris, all of them. And that includes creation, maintenance, dissolution, all the different incarnations, all that Leelas of them. And then the process by which you can realize it. Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam. All these three, right? This is all discussed in the Bhagavatam. Brahma Tattvam, Vibhuti, Sadhana Margam. Sadhana Margam means Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Karma Margam, Bhakti Margam, all that yoga processes. Then Vibhuti means creation, maintenance, dissolution, all the incarnations, all the pastimes, everything. Brahmatattva means absolute truth. These three topics is analyzed in a depth in Bhagavatam to teach us, right? There is nothing else discussed. So, therefore they say that it is known as Gayatri, but basically Brahmavidya in the form of Gayatri, it is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Then, the next chapter, 21st chapter. Shri, due to the Sharat season, Krishna comes to Vrindavanam and plays the flute. And due to that, when Krishna plays the flute, the gopis were affected by Krishna's flute playing. And that is what is this 21st chapter is all about. Shri Shukavaja Itam Sharat Swachha Jalam Palmagara Sugandhinam Nivishadvaina Vadam Sago Gopala Gavachyuta. Due to the power of the Sharat season, the water that has become purified, all the water is purified, and the wind is also very favorable in the sense that it's carrying the aroma of the flowers bringing in. And into that Vrindavanam, Krishna entered with the friends and with the cows and the calves. And now Vrindavanam looks different because the water has become settled down, all the mud has settled down. So, in this season comes, rain has stopped and the mud has all gone down in the lakes, so the water was very clean and clear. All the flowers have come out and breeze is also there, so the water was very steady and clear, and so the lakes looks beautiful. Similarly, the wind that was blowing was carrying the aroma of the flowers. And to that Vrindavanam, Krishna entered with cows, calves and the friends and was playing the flute. And it basically describing this Sharat season, right? Morning time in the Sharat is nice. It's pleasant, not too hot. And cool breeze, everything very quiet, right? But once the morning changes, as the time goes up 10, 11 o'clock, right? Things will change. So Krishna comes in the early hours in the morning, and with the cows into Vrindavanam. Then Kusumida Vaniraja Shushmi Brindam Dijagula Gushta Saras Sarin Mahidram Madhupadiravagahya Charayanga Sahabashupala Bala Chuguja Venam. Describing Vrindavanam season, the impact of the change in the season in Vrindavanam. How the flowers, the fruit, everything, the plants, plenty of flowers, plenty of these small lakes, and then similarly plenty of all the flowers that's come about, and there's a lot of honey in them. So naturally there's a lot of bees flying around, right? And they're making their noises, these bees who are flying. Similarly, other birds also, they come, and the calves are also very happy. And Krishna has come to Vrindavanam with all of them, right? Krishna was dressed very well. Mother Yashoda has dressed Krishna well and enjoyed playing the flute. And gopis saw Krishna well dressed and playing the flute and along with the gopi, along with the cows and cowherd boys, going towards Vrindavanam. They saw that. And they spoke to each other about Krishna's beauty and Krishna's sweetness while playing the flute. They were talking about this for a long time, right? Tad vrajastrayam ashrutya venugidam smarodayam kaschil paroksham krishnasya susagibhyo anyavarnayan. Gopis felt smarodayam, it says. That means the way he played the flute was disturbing their mind, in the sense they were getting attracted to Krishna by that. And they say that anyone who hear that, Krishna's flute, they will be stunned and stand there listening to it, right? And their mind got absorbed in that sound of the flute. Krishna's playing flute was such, it could attract anyone's mind towards him. In this way, their mind all became completely absorbed in Krishna, and they forgotten everything and stood there fully stunned by Krishna's beauty and hearing this sound of the flute, right? And that is why that word was used, smarodayam, smarodayam. Krishna's flute playing was called smarodayam. Smarodayam means something that creates abhinivesham. Abhinivesham means attachment. Krishna's flute was such that it creates attachment in their heart towards Krishna. So, in this way, their attraction started building up for Krishna. And their mind became more and more tanmayatum. It becomes one with Krishna. They could not take Krishna away from their mind. And they stood there, stunned, stabdham. Stabdham means stunned. They stood there when they heard the sound of the flute, right? So, that is what Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is talking about. Similarly, in the same way, in the cowherd boys also, and cowherd men also, the similar attachment has developed, but much more in Gopi's heart. So they were also talking about it, the way Krishna played the flute. Yeah. So Gopis, they were talking about Krishna's beauty, and they were also talking about Krishna's playing the flute. Rupa Madhuri and Venu Madhuri, both. And the cowherd boys, they are walking along with Krishna to the forest, right? And they are also getting attached to Krishna, listening to the sound of the flute, right? And they are looking at him and walking with him towards the forest. But they are not saying anything about it. Tadvarmaidumarabdham smarandya krishna jeshtidam Nashagan smara vegena vikshipta manaso nirbham. Hearing this sound of the flute, Gopi started talking about it, how it is affecting them, the flute, right? And Gopis are not with them. Gopis are hiding in the, staying at home, but they are hearing the sound, and they talked about it to their friends. Gopi spoke about it, right? And they heard from them, from Gopis, what they felt from them. Then this famous verse. Barhabidam Nadavaravabu Karnayo Karnigaram Vibhradvasa Kanagakavisham Vajayandinjamalam Randhanvenu Radharasuthaya Purayan Gopa Vrindai Vrindaranyam Sobadaramanam Pravishal Gita Kirti. Gita Kirti. What is Krishna's Kirti? Gita Kirti. Vedam, Shastram, Puranams. All of them talks about Krishna's glories, isn't it? So, Divyagirti, Krishna's Kirti, or the fame, is sung by Vedam, Shastram, and all the Puranams, everything. So, Vrindavanam, Krishna is going towards Vrindavanam, playing this flute, and that beautiful form of Krishna is Vedavyasa Maharshi bringing through this verse, right? This verse, Brahavidam. He has entered into Vrindavanam. What kind of Vrindavanam it is? That due to the marks that's created by Krishna's lotus feet. While Krishna was walking, it creates marks on the ground. Due to that, it became beautiful. Vrindavanam became beautiful. Or in other words, due to that impressions that Krishna's lotus feet has created on the ground, and that lotus feet, that creates bhakti in the heart of the devotees. In the heart of the devotees, it creates bhakti in their heart. And that was present all over Vrindavanam, Krishna's, marks of Krishna's feet, lotus feet, right? And these dvajam, angusham, saroruham, all these things, the marking on these feet, right? So, they are all there on the feet, and that was all on the ground. When they see that, devotees remember Krishna very easily by seeing the markings on the ground, right? And already they have remembrance of Krishna, but it becomes stronger when they see the marking. And at that time, their bhakti will increase in their heart, right? So, in this way, the marking that create increases the bhakti in the heart of the devotees, and those markings are all over in the Vrindavanam, and to that Vrindavanam Krishna entered, right? How? Peacock feather in the head and garlands all around, everything decorated very well. Nadavara Vabhu, he says, that just like a drama actor, how he dressed up to play in the drama, in the same way, for a cowherd boy, whatever that is required, he has dressed for in that way, just like a good cowherd boy, well dressed, right? And all his bodies he has decorated, Nadavaravabhu, like a cowherd boy, peacock feather and garland, plenty of garlands. And these garlands are connected to the peacock feather as well. And in his ears, he is hanging these eardrops, again flowers he has used for that. And everything is these different types of flowers, what they have used, what's available in the forest. And the whole body is decorated with these flowers, right? And because he has got all these things on his body, it suits a cowherd boy's nature. Because the cowherd boys, their decoration is with golden jewelry. It's not. They decorate with everything what's available in the forest. Right? Bibhradhanam Kanagavisham Vaijayandinjamalam. Only thing is, Yashoda Devi has decorated him with a yellow garment which is like golden color. Kanaga Gavisham. Then in the ear he has got Vaijayanti Mala. It's a special mala, Vaijayanti Mala. How Vaijayanti Mala is made, Sridhara Swami mentions that. What all flowers you need for that and how it is made. Separate that. Tulsi involved in that, tulsi leaves, flowers, lotus flower, lavender, parijatam and mandaram, they are the flowers used for making Vaijayanti Mala. Vaijayanti Mala, right? So these five flowers are required to make Vaijayanti Mala. Tulasi, lotus, lavender, parijatham and mandaram. And he has got this Vaijayanti Mala around his neck. And Krishna is looking at all the other living entities with the love and affection towards them. And from his lips, the saliva is flowing through the holes of the flute into it. And everyone was absorbed in seeing that beautiful form of Krishna. And they are affected by that Sachidananda Rasam. Krishna's playing flute means Sachidananda Brahmam it is, isn't it? Brahma Rasam it is coming through the flute, right? And everyone's mind who heard that flute, it became one with Krishna. Tanmayatvam it is called. Practically, he was giving that Sachidananda Rasam to everyone through that flute. And due to that, among the devotees, they were carried away by that, and Krishna entered like that. So, that particular verse, fifth verse, Barha Pidam Nadavaravabu Karnayo Karnigaram Bibhradvasa Kanagakabisham Vaijayandinjamalam Randhan Veno Ratharasudhaya Purayan Gopavrandai Vrindaranyam Sobadaramanam Pravishal Gidagirti. Iduvenuravam Rajan Sarvabhudamanoharam Shrutva Vrajastraya Sarva Varnayandyobhire Bhire. In this way, hearing Krishna's beautiful playing flute, right, gopis have become completely affected by that, and with more attachment towards Krishna they felt after hearing the flute, right? And gopis were talking about Krishna's beauty, unusual beauty, and also the sweetness of the flute, and they were completely intoxicated with that. Completely affected by these two things, right? When one gopi speaks about it, other gopis will listen to that. In this way, all of them talking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna, they have become, they have totally got absorbed in that. What it shows is, this is the way devotees enjoy Krishna. So, unlike yogis, jnanis, devotees always enjoy together. Some devotees talk about Krishna, other devotees listen. And these other devotees talk and these devotees listen. In this way, devotees always wants to enjoy collectively. You can see when we take prasadam, we all take together, isn't it? So this devotee's way of enjoying is together, not individually. That's the message is saying there, right? Whereas jnanis and yogis, they enjoy alone in their own world. They do, right? So, devotees cannot enjoy on their own. They need a party, always. Right? And they feel that only in the association they can enjoy. Right? So, whereas yogis and jnanis, on their own, in their own world, they can enjoy, relate with Krishna. Right? And that's how they do. Whereas devotees are not satisfied in that way. They want to enjoy and they want to see that other devotees are also enjoying in that way. And therefore they talk about Krishna to others, right? And when they talk about Krishna, they can enjoy it, talking about Krishna, right? And those who are hearing about Krishna, they also get enjoyment from that. So in this way, enjoying themselves and at the same time sharing that with the others and giving them enjoyment, that is the devotee's way of system. Devotee's way, life is like that. Enjoying himself and enjoying with others. That's the way, always sharing with each other. Then, Gopya Ujo, Achanno Dambhalamidam, Nabaram Vidama, Sakya Pashonanu Vivesedo Vairasi, Vaktram Vrajeshara, Vrajesha Sudayor, Anivanu Jushtam, Erva Anividam Anirakta Kadaksham Oksham. From now on, the gopis are talking about Krishna, flute playing the flute, Venu Gita. So, one gopi is saying that this form, Krishna's form, seeing that with the eyes, he gives so much happiness inside. And the purpose of the eye, what we got, purpose has been served by getting the eyes, by seeing Krishna. In other words, gopis are saying the purpose of the eyes is only to see Krishna, nothing else. Yeah? Achannodam bhalamidam na param vidama. It's a famous thing, that statement, right? That Krishna's beauty, beauty personified, that face, yeah, and seeing that, nothing more will please the eyes than seeing the beauty of Krishna, Krishna's face, right? Because all the beauty of this whole creation is present in a concentrated form in Krishna's face. So, the beauty of all the creation, right, and is present in Krishna's face, right? He says here, what is beauty? Beauty means we go to all different places to see beautiful places, is it not? And we look at them and we get excited seeing that. There are different places in this world where you can see the natural beauty. People go to Switzerland, people go to Himalayas, people go to Kanyakumari, and all sorts of places people travel to see the beauty of the nature. And when they go there, they get stunned by the beauty of the nature. Some people go to Switzerland and say, the beauty of Switzerland. And similarly, people are affected by the beauty of the Himalayas when they go there, seeing the beautiful mountains and hills and the valleys and the rivers and beautiful Alaknanda, Mandakini rivers and the water, the purity of the water. All these things affects their mind straight away, right? Similarly, when the people go to Cape Comorin, Kanyakumari, the sunrise and sunset, people stand there and keep looking at it, how the sun slowly rises and how the sun sets, these things, right? So, how did this beauty come to these places in the earth, right? We won't think about that. We just see the beauty, appreciate that, and we come. But Upanishad says, Arama Masya Pashyandi Dadam Pashyadi Kaschana, means you go to your garden for recreation, to get some refresh, to refresh yourself. Arama means gardens. You go there and you see all the flowers and you see the beautiful flowers and you appreciate everything, you come back. You don't see the gardener behind it. Gardener is Krishna. Krishna created that garden with all the beautiful flowers and all the plants, and the beauty is coming from Krishna. It's not the beauty of the flowers. It's Krishna's beauty that you are seeing there, in those things, right? So, similarly, this creation is Krishna's garden. And in this garden, Krishna's beauty or Krishna's skill is all manifesting, right? And we see that and we appreciate that, right? But everyone is carried away by the beauty but they do not see Krishna's hands behind it, right? Nobody remembers Krishna when they see the beauty of the world. They only appreciate the beauty and then they go. But the person who is behind created this beauty, that's Krishna. That's what he's saying here, right? So, comparing this creation as a garden and comparing its beauty, he says there that its beauty has come because of Krishna's presence in the garden. Krishna's presence in the garden, this creation, that's why it's become beautiful, right? And otherwise, they are made of five material elements. Five material elements doesn't have a beauty on its own. On its own, doesn't have any material elements, there's no beauty, right? And doesn't have a smell, and doesn't have it is panchabhudam, panchabhudam, right? And panchabhudam is jadam. Matter it is, jadam, right? Jadam does not have attraction, beauty. Jadam does not have attraction. Five material elements does not have any attraction. It is just a material element. It's jadam it is, right? But through this panchabhudalmaga prabhanjam, all this is made of five material elements. Through that, Sachidananda Brahman is revealing himself to everybody. And that we don't have that access to understand it, capacity to understand it. That is what that Upanishad verse is saying. Aramamasya pashyanti nadam pashyati kaschana. That's a famous statement that is in the Upanishads, right? So due to that Sachidananda presence here, due to that, that is how this world has become beautiful. When you look into the gardens, forests, mountains, rivers, hills, valleys, everything becomes beautiful only because of Krishna's presence in that. But nobody thinks like that, right? So Sachidananda Paramatma, Sachidananda Brahman, Krishna, he remains as the Adharam or foundation for this. But when you see this moving, non-moving, this creation all over, Sachidananda Brahman, Paramatma's presence is more revealing to us. It is only because of the presence of Sachidananda Paramatma or Sachidananda Brahman that this creation has become like this. Otherwise creation has no beauty at all in itself, right? When we see this, we get attracted to this creation and we get very excited, emotional about it, right? But due to the presence of Sachidananda Paramatma, Sachidananda Brahman, that is what is giving this this beauty. It is Sachidananda Brahman's presence that is giving the beauty to the creation. That principle. What he is saying is that what is attracting us to the beautiful locations and beautiful places is due to the beauty that is given to it by the presence of Sachidananda Brahman in that. Now, in some things, in some places or things what you see in this world, some places, Sattvagunam will be very prominent, right? So, where Sattvagunam is very strong, in places where Sattvagunam is very strong, Sachidanandam's Paramatma's presence will be more revealed through it. Like Himalayas, places like that, right? Where there is a lots of Sattvagunam, the Sachidananda Paramatma's presence will be felt there when you go there, right? And it is due to that Sachidanandam's presence, that Sachidanandam's presence is what we are saying that beauty of the place. The experience what you have when you go to certain places and we feel a certain experience there, and that experience is due to the presence of excessive satvagunam, which is nothing but Sachidanandam's presence there. So where there is satvagunam, Sachidananda Paramatma's presence will be felt more, where there is satvagunam, right? So that Sachidananda Paramatma's presence in the form of satvagunam, what you are experiencing there, and that is what you are calling it as beauty, beautiful place, you call like that, right? So it is due to Krishna's presence only a place becomes beautiful, due to Sachidanandam's presence, right? Otherwise, material elements on their own have no beauty. Earth, water, air, ether, fire, they don't have a beauty. For example, you can see there that the, say, piece of earth if you take, what beauty has it got? It doesn't have any beauty, isn't it? They are jadam. All five elements are jadam, right? Whichever way you combine them, it won't become beautiful, right? If beauty is experienced from a place, if when you observe them, feeling beautiful, only because Sachidananda Paramatma, when it is manifest, right, we call that as beauty. We call that as beauty. So all these places, when we are talking about beauty, and see, it's because of the increased sattvagunam, and through that sattvagunam, you are experiencing Krishna's beauty, Sachidananda Brahma's beauty. And and our eyes are attracted towards that. So, practically, beauty means Krishna. Krishna is beauty, right? So, when Krishna's presence is more conspicuous, that is when you say, it is beautiful. It is beautiful, right? So, otherwise, any object if you take in this world, it has no beauty on its own, right? But due to the presence of sattvagunam, due to the presence of sattvagunam, through some worldly objects, right, the Krishna's presence is revealed through that, at that moment, right? That means prapanchika drishyam, the things what we see, through that, the foundation of all these things, which is Sachidananda Brahman, comes out when satvagunam is present. That means in creation itself, when there is a lot of satvagunam, there Krishna's presence is felt more for the people who are coming there. They experience that, right? So, in that way, when Sachidanandam's presence is experienced by us, when we go to certain places, is due, that is what we call it as beauty. We call that as beauty. So beauty means that you go to some places and then there is satvagunam there. Satvagunam has come from Sachidanandam, means through satvagunam you will experience Sachidanandam more than through rajogunam and tamogunam. That's the principle. So this is why rishis went to the forest and places like that, they built their cottages or huts and they lived in that. Because they see this, that sattvagunam presence is in forests and places like that. Yeah? So why is that? When sattvagunam, like knowledge, in sattvagunam knowledge will come. Spiritual knowledge also is in sattvagunam it comes. In the same way, beauty also comes when there is satvagunam. So that is what he is saying here. When Krishna Sachidananda Paramatma's presence is felt more in places where there is satvagunam, and it will more revealing at that time. And that is its beauty. Otherwise, five material elements on their own, they are all five material elements only. There is no difference, isn't it? Anywhere. It's the same five material elements, earth, water, air, ether, fire. They on their own doesn't have any beauty. But what is that makes it beautiful? Presence of Sachidanandam due to sattvagunam. That's what it's saying here. So gopis are saying the same. Achannodam balamidam naparam vidamam. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahadavagni nirvapanam shayakaidav chandriya vidaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamradaswadanam sarvatna subanam varam vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam Nama Kari Vahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrapida Nimida Smaranena Kalam Yata Drashi Tavakrupa Bhagavan Mamami Durdeva Mida Shamiha Janina Nurhala Tranara Vishuni Jena Tarora Visahishnuna Amahalina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhakti Haidu Gittvai Ainanda Danuja Kingaram Patidamam Shami Bhavambudav Krupayatava Pada Pangajastita Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Adanam Tadarudhaya Gira Pulagar Nijidam Gadava Bhutava Nama Grahane Bhavishyadi Yugaidam Nimeshena Chachusha Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahenami Ashlishya Vapadaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karodhuva Yathatadava Vidadadulambadu Malprananathasuna Yevanapara Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Gopya Ujo Achanvadam Paramidam Nabaram Vidama Sakya Pashunanu Veshayado Vayasyai Vaktram Rajesha Sudayoranu Venu Jushtam Yervani Vida Vanu Rekta Kadaksham Oksham. So Gopis are saying that the material elements have no beauty on its own. Only when Krishna is present in them, it becomes beautiful. And recognizing that Krishna's presence is that first line. Achanna dobalam idam navaram vidama. That saundaryam is only in Krishna. And so, due to the sattva guna adhikyam, Sattvagunadhikya means the intensity of Sattvagunam. When Sattvagunam increases, right, through these various things what we see in the creation, right, you experience Krishna's presence in them when Sattvagunam increases. that is what it's saying here. When Sachidanandam, when it's manifesting somewhere, that is when we call it as beauty. When something becomes beautiful for us, when Sachidanandam comes out through that, everything. So that is what they are stressing that point. Achannodam bhalamidam na param vidama. When they look at Krishna's face, beauty, what they are experiencing there inside their heart, right? They are saying that the eyes have got its, eyes have achieved its glories complete. Eyes, the purpose of having eyes is already fulfilled by seeing that beauty in Krishna's face. They see that beauty in Krishna's face, right? And because in their mind they can't think of anything more beautiful than Krishna's beauty on Krishna's face, right? And similarly, apart from that, in everything in this creation, wherever you find some beauty, it's only because of Krishna's presence in that. through those visions, Krishna is manifesting more in those. We are able to perceive Krishna's presence in the creation there. And they said that along with their friends, they're going towards Vrindavanam, playing the flute and seeing the beauty of Krishna's Balaram's face, that is the perfection of the eye. Anurakta Kadaksha Moksham, the word used is Anurakta Kadaksha Moksham, he says. That means that after playing the flute, looking at everything in the creation with love, Krishna and Balaram is walking. And at that time, if you look at Krishna's face, Sri Mukha Kamala Darshanam, it's called. One who is able to see that, one who is able to have a look at that, his eyes are become perfect. That means the purpose of eyes have been fulfilled. Seeing that beauty, Krishna's beauty, right? Due to that, and able to have that, he said, is Krishna Mukha Kamala Darshanam. Vaktram Vrajesha Sudayor Anuvenu Jishtam Yeruva Nibidam Anurakta Kadaksha Moksham. That's the word they used. Anurakta Kadaksha Moksham. And they say that we are very fortunate because we got that. Gopis are saying this, right? What they're saying is, at least we are fortunate that we have that darshanam of Krishna's beauty. And are we not more fortunate than those who didn't have that opportunity to see Krishna like that, right? And those who have never had an opportunity for that, at least we are more fortunate than them. That's how Gopi said, right? In the same way, now here it is spoken in that way, about the eyes only. In the same way, gopis have enjoyed Krishna through the eyes. Similarly, if one is able to enjoy Krishna through all the senses, actually all the senses are meant for serving Krishna. And when we do that, engage our senses in Krishna's service, that is when you get the opportunity to enjoy Krishna, or what we call it as bhajanānandam. And in other words, all senses become perfect, or their duty they have fulfilled, or their or having them, we got a fulfillment of those senses when they get an opportunity to serve senses, to serve Krishna, and it be, in that way able to experience Krishna through the senses, right? So, so here it, they only spoke about the eye, but in strictly speaking, they are able, referring to all the senses in that way. Then, Krishna's form, Murti, is not always visible to us. Only if you get to see Krishna, you have to see, you're able to see him, right? But when these pastimes were performed, Krishna's form was visible to everybody. Everybody got an opportunity to see that form. Yeah. Today, if you want, you can't see him. They had the opportunity to see him, that form, right? So, today, how we will experience Krishna? What's the way? In this way only it is possible. Everywhere, wherever you find the beauty in this creation, to start recognizing that, it is Krishna's beauty that is coming through that object. or the scenes in the world. And in this way, able to recognize Krishna's presence in the creation. Vaktram vrajeshasudayo anuvenu jushtam yerva nibidam anirakta kadaksha moksham. So, in order to experience that, rather than seeing a person, seeing the beauty and enjoying that, this Krishna's divine beauty, one should get it as a devotee. One should see it. That means one should become take a devotee's mood in looking at all the things. Rather, normally people see things and say, "How very beautiful, place is very beautiful," they say. When you go to places like Himalayas and all that, isn't it? So, rather than doing that, what he's saying here is that appreciate Krishna's presence in them as a beauty. Actually, it is due to Krishna's presence that the place looks beautiful. Otherwise, Himalayam is also Panchabhutam. The other towns and villages are also Panchabhutam. Why do we see that Himalayam is more beautiful than other places? That's a question, right? Both are made of Panchabhutam only. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. So, why do we say that one place is more beautiful than another place? That beauty we are experiencing is due to Krishna's presence there due to increased sattvaguna. That's the way to understand that. In this way, enjoy the beauty of the nature. And that is what, that means if one is able to enjoy the beauty of the nature as Krishna's beauty, then it has fulfilled your eyes. But normally it doesn't happen. We see the place, we say it's very beautiful, and we enjoy and appreciate the beauty and we come. But instead, that beauty, what we are seeing there, is due to Krishna's presence, able to recognize that. That is what gopis are doing here. When we see something, we will enjoy it, obviously. You go to Lake District, for example, or Switzerland, or Himalayas, wherever. All these places, there's a lot of beautiful spots there. Forests, rivers, mountains, beautiful lakes, plenty of plants and flowers and fruits and everything. All looks nice, beautiful, right? We will enjoy it and we'll come back. So, but we are not able to add Krishna to it. We are not able to add Krishna to those locations, beauty, right? So, so even though they are also Lake District and Switzerland and Himalayas are also five material elements only, not different from anywhere else, right? So, but when we go to those places, we see a beauty there. Why? Where is that beauty coming from? That's what they're saying here. That beauty you're experiencing inside, in some form, and that is due to the increased sattvagunam present in there, and due to Krishna's presence through sattvagunam, it is coming out there. So, and this seeing that purely as a beauty and leaving it there, that's where the mistake is. Not able to see, appreciate that Krishna's presence in that. When we start appreciating the beauty of Panchabhautikam, they are called Panchabhautikam. Panchabhautikam means five material elements, right? When you see them like that, we forget Krishna. When we see it like that, right? And we will become more and more materialistic. This is a disadvantage of that. We'll become more and more materialistic. If you simply see it as the beauty of the material elements, if to those wish sceneries or scenes, if you are able to see that it is Krishna's beauty that is coming through that, and if you start enjoying it in that way, the eye has become perfect. Otherwise, we have abused the eye. Simply if you have seen it as just beauty. That's what gopis are saying that. Achannodam phalamidam navaram vidama sakhya pashunani viveshayato vayasyehi vaktram vrajesha sudayor anuvenu jushtam yerva nibidam anurakta kadaksha moksham. So, with the eyes, this is a very important verse, because this verse, through this verse, gopis are revealing something to us, right? Eyes are perfect only when you see Krishna in there. Everything is related to the mind at the end, isn't it? This beauty, where do you experience it? In the mind. Eyes are not, eyes brings it in, but experience is in the mind of the beauty, right? Similarly, bondage and liberation is also in the mind. Bandham moksham is also in the mind, right? So, according to our mind, is everything in this world, right? Also, all senses. In this way, when we are able to see Krishna's beauty in all the beautiful things in this world, then, and we started actually tasting Krishna's beauty through the beauty of the world, our desire for seeing places which are beautiful will leave us. Now we have a desire for seeing beautiful places. We go looking for some place where it's beautiful. We think in our mind that place is more beautiful than the place where we are now. Isn't it? So, that desire to go and see other places will leave us with that, right? So, because this desire to enjoy Krishna's beauty, we will find more interesting. Rather than seeing places and seeing the beauty of the places and appreciating it, we will develop a special attraction for Krishna's beauty coming out through this. That means seeing something else has gone away and seeing Krishna more and Krishna's beauty in everything. To see that special vision comes to us. Yeah? Nothing else is required. And our mind becomes like that, right? And the gopis are saying, this is the perfection of the eye. So, otherwise, whatever we may see in this world, the desire doesn't go away. People go all over the world, is it not? Some people go to Niagara waterfalls, they want to see its beauty. And the people go all sorts of places, and that is the tourism industry is based on that, right? So, and still after seeing many places, we are not satisfied. Still we want to see more. Because what is happening is, within inside us, right, actually we are on, if you understand this, that the five material elements are present everywhere, in all these places, wherever we go, it's only these five material elements, kept in different forms and shapes, right? So, we are saying that something is beautiful, something is not beautiful. What Shastram is saying is, if you are finding somewhere something beauty, it's not anything different from the five material elements. What it is due to Krishna's presence in them manifesting more due to Sattvagunam. That is what makes you, gives you the feeling of happiness inside by seeing that place. To come to that realization. due to Krishna's presence, right? So, actually, so, strictly speaking, what you are trying to see is not these five material elements. You are trying to see, you want to see Krishna's beauty. That's what you are wanting to see, right? So, because of that taste for Krishna's beauty, and that is what is in your inside, what is demanding, the desire for that. And when you get an opportunity for that, that Krishna's beauty, you start recognizing places, this desire for going to different places will go away, to go and see the beauty there, right? In the same way, hearing also, right? We hear all sorts of things through the ear, right? But still we are not satisfied, we want to hear more through the ear, right? Because what we want, really want to hear, we are not able to find it, to hear that, right? So, keep on thinking like that. Within the mind, what we want to hear is about Krishna. We want to hear about Krishna, right? And when you hear that through the devotees, when they talk about Krishna in such a way, and you got the taste for that, then the ears have become perfect. If you have developed a taste about Krishna by hearing. So, Katha Shravanam, it's called, right? And if you have really developed a taste for Katha, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then to hear other things, you will lose the taste. Automatically, you will lose the taste, because in the heart of hearts, really want to hear about Krishna. It's there in everyone, right? So, so if you are able to glorify Krishna, sing Krishna's glories, in that way, if you are able to do that, the tongue will be satisfied with that. And with that, desire to talk other things leaves us. In this way, Krishna's divine form, divine pastimes, if you are able to get absorbed in that, then you don't want to think about anything else after that. Then the mind will be satisfied with that, right? So all the five senses, in the same way, if they are able to taste Krishna through the senses, then those senses have become perfect in their service. So that is what this seventh verse is talking about, right? Krishna is traveling to, going to the forest, glancing at all the other forests and other people around, friends with the cows, cowherd boys, and the calves. In this way, they are coming back also with all of them, everybody together. And the beauty of Krishna and Balaram, their beauty, they are saying that is the perfection of eyes. There is nothing more than that, he said. Chuda pravala barha stabagolpalabja malano prakta paridhana vijitravesho madhye virejaduralam pashubala goshtyam renge yadha natavaro kocha gayamano. A description of the Krishna's decorations, beauty, peacock feather and the flowers they have used, and where all Krishna has put garlands. He has put them in the neck, and then he has put them around his waist. And Balaram is wearing a bluish dhoti, right? And in this way, and Krishna has got a yellow garment, right? And they're together singing different songs and enjoying himself and entertaining others. Krishna traveled with them, walked with them, right? In the middle of them, Krishna and Balaram, right? So, gopis are saying how fortunate those cowherd boys are, able to enjoy with Krishna and Balaram like this. Then he said that, madhye virejaduralam pashubala goshtyam renge yatha nadavaro kocha gayamano. Just like actors in the drama, how they dress up for different roles, what they have to play. In the same way, they both dressed up, Krishna and Balaram, with peacock feather, lotus flowers, garlands, and then there is other garlands mentioned there. And when they were walking, these garlands were moving. And sometimes those garlands will go and hit their dress, the yellow garments or the bluish garments. And there will be a gap between the garlands as well. And in the middle of all that, Krishna was singing, and Balaram, they were singing different songs, and they were entertaining the other cowherd boys, right? In this way, different, they all looked very different, with the different decorations, and different flowers, different garlands, different garments they were wearing. And in the middle of all that, the cowherd boys were looking at them, and gopis are saying, those cowherd boys are much more fortunate than us because they get such a closer association with Krishna. Therefore, they are more fortunate than us, they said. Gopya, this is, different gopis are speaking now. Yeah? Another gopi is saying, Gopya kim acharadayam kushalam sma venur damodara adhara sudhamavi gopi ganam bhungte swayam yad avashishtadasam hridinyo Krishna Tajo Ashra Mumuju Staravo Yadharya. First of all, they spoke about the cowherd boy's good fortune, right? Now they are talking about the good fortune of the flute, what Krishna was playing, right? Gopis are saying that we used to think that the saliva from Krishna's mouth was for them to enjoy, for the gopis to enjoy, right? But more than that, saliva, the flute is enjoying. Flute is enjoying the saliva more than us, right? He gets as much as he wants all the time from Krishna, right? Till now we were thinking it is meant for us, but now we see that the flute gets a bigger share of that, right? Till now we never had the opportunity to enjoy that, gopis are saying, right? And one day we may get that opportunity, referring to rasa dance, which is likely to happen. So they are thinking about it now, right? So that adharamradam, the nectar of that comes from Krishna's mouth. That why the flute, what has the flute done to get so much of that which we haven't got it so far? And it has not happened in our life, but this Venu, the flute, has got it plenty as much as it wants. What has he done? The flute has done for that. In this way, gopis are talking about it. And either flute is in Krishna's hands, or he never leaves it anywhere, or he sticks it in his dhoti on the side. Krishna puts it there, right? Or it is on his lips. So all the time, the flute gets the opportunity to be with Krishna more than anybody else. What pious activities has the flute done to get this association like that? And what the flute has done, such pious activities, if we also do that, we will also get that same association. In this way, gopis are talking about it. This is some gopis. That is that verse, particular verse, right? And gopis are not able to get closer to Krishna as much as the flute is, because flute has a very closer association with him all the time. Once it so happened that Krishna went into the Yamuna river to wash his hands and legs. So at that time, his uttariyam, the second cloth, and the flute, he kept it on the river shore and he went into the water, right? At that time, gopis asked the flute, right, what have you done to get such a close association with Krishna? Gopis asked the flute at that time. Gopi said that we haven't done anything, pious activities. We have not learned any mantras or mandram, sandram. We have not learned anything, any of that, right? Only reason is inside us is empty. That's the only thing. We are empty inside. And because we are empty inside, he shows so much compassion for us. That's what the reply from the flute is, right? So what it is saying is, at the moment, inside all of us, it's filled up fully. It has to become empty. That means vasana must go. When all the vasanas leaves us, we will enjoy Krishna inside. As long as vasanas are there, it's not possible. So this Venugita is saying certain spiritual principles in a very subtle level, teaching us, right? So from Venu's words, gopis understood that only if inside becomes hollow, you will become qualified to receive Krishna, to get association with Krishna. Inside has to become hollow. In order to make that hollow, you have to follow the instructions of the Guru, and that is how the next thing happens, Kartyayani Puja. It leads to Kartyayani Puja. This Venugidam leads to Kartyayani Puja, right? So that is how they decided to perform the Kartyayani Puja after this, right? So, due to Krishna's playing the flute, all the trees and plants and everything, they were feeling the bliss when Krishna was playing the flute, right? And they were even experiencing that bliss, and they were affected by it, right? Sometimes, in the success of the children, the parents feel happy, pride about that, right? And they will also become very excited and happy about it, right? Then they say, gopis are saying, right, this what good fortune the Venu had, the flute had, we didn't get it. Or in other words, we didn't get that same affection what Krishna has shown to the flute, we were not able to have it from him, right? But among us, at least the Venu has got it. At least he got it from Krishna, right? In this way, all the gopis who were present there, they were feeling happy because Venu got this association with Krishna in that way. And all the big trees, they observed this, and they also felt happy because Venu belongs to the tree group, isn't it? Bamboo trees, that's when the flute is made. So all the bamboo trees felt happy because at least a member of the family has got that opportunity to be close to Krishna more than anybody else. So just like parents feel happy when their children become successful in life, how the parents feel happy. Similarly, the big trees in Vrindavanam, they felt happy because their member of the family got an association with Krishna so closely as a success in life. So, they were saying that who brought up Venu? We brought him up, isn't it? So, because a member of our family he is, right? Who is their father and mother? It's us. We are the father and mother. So, and this Venu has come from us and he grew up with us and he's a part of our body in this way. We gave him the breast milk and brought him up. In this way, they were feeling some happiness, all the trees in Vrindavanam, that particularly the bamboos, from whose family this Venu had come from, right? And they also felt happy. The lotus flowers in the Yamuna River, they enjoyed them. And you will see that mentioned in the next verse. Vrindavanam sakibhuvo vidanodi kirtim yad devagi sudapadambu jalabdha lakshmi govinda venu anumattamayura nirtyam prekshyadrisa anubaradanya samastha sattvam. This is all gopis are in their mind, analyzing in their own mind, and they are saying what they feel inside. All these verses, different gopis are saying what they are experiencing inside, looking at the nature. One gopi is talked about the flute. Another gopi spoke about the eyes and the different senses. Now this gopi, some other gopis are saying that the about the Vrindavanam. In her imagination, what she is feeling. That's what she is talking about. Right? Vrindavanam increases the glory of the place, it says. Why? Because when Krishna was present, the place changed completely, right? And you could see things which you couldn't see anywhere else. And because of the presence of Vrindavanam here, Mother Earth became blissful. Whole Mother Earth became blissful, right? That's what it's saying. Yad devagi sudha padambuja labdha lakshmi. Due to Krishna's lotus feet's presence on the Earth planet, right? Lakshmi Devi was already present there throughout Vrindavanam. Throughout Vrindavanam. You have to connect this with at the appearance time. What happened? How changes happened in the five material elements. We spoke that in the beginning, isn't it? And when the all the members of the gopis or cowherd boy men, they came to see Nanda Maharaj and to see Krishna. They came to see Krishna. They brought a lot of gifts, isn't it? To present it to Krishna. So when they are presenting to gifts, you don't just take gifts, but you have to give it back also some things. So Nanda Maharaj and Rohini organized everything. And there was so much wealth given in return to gopis. And Sri Shukha Brahmarshi says, where did all this wealth come from? And there he uses a word, Rama Kridam Abhun Rupa, he says. Mahalakshmi has come and stayed in Nanda Maharaj's house. And therefore, any amount you take from that, it was never getting exhausted. So much wealth. And Nanda Maharaj and Rohini were giving them gifts in abundance, expensive jewels and expensive gold and things like that. And why? Only because Lakshmi Devi was present there throughout. When she came and she realized that there is an interesting way people say about this, that Narasimham, she was frightened, right? When Narasimham came, Lord Brahma told her, you go and pacify him, because he is in an angry mood. So, and being Lakshmi Devi, being wife, goes and says something, he will come down. Lakshmi Devi said, no, I won't go. Then finally, Prahlad was sent, devotee, to pacify Narasimha, right? So, Lakshmi Devi now is seeing Krishna smiling, everything. He's smiling, beautiful form. But Lakshmi Devi is more frightened about this form than the Narasimha's form. Why? Reason is, that form you can understand. This form will smile like this, but what it will do next moment you don't know. That is Lakshmi Devi's view about Krishna. Lakshmi Devi is more frightened about Krishna than Narasimha. Because Narasimha will laugh. After all, it's a simham, isn't it? So even if it laughs, you can understand to some extent. If it laughs or if it is going to roar next moment. But this one, this Krishna's form, even though it may laugh, what is behind that laugh, you won't know. You will never know. That is why it is said that, you remember? Hasam unmada kareencha maya. Whole maya is working with that smile only. Smile is behind it. Krishna's smile is difficult to understand. Everybody thinks, oh, Krishna is so beautiful. He's smiling at me. You think like that when you go there in the temple, isn't it? But that smile is a very dangerous smile it is. Because, hasam unmada kareencha maya. Maya works under that smile. That smile is behind it, right? So, in Bhagavatam, in few places, they have talked about Krishna's smile. It's a dangerous thing if Krishna is smiling, that you have to be a little bit careful about that. Oh, now that he is my good friend, he's smiling at me. If you take it that way, the very next moment Maya can put you into a very awkward situation also. So not to feel so familiarity with him, closeness to Krishna. It could end up in serious difficulties though. That's why, and also Uddhava says the same thing. Vismavijanam susya saubhagarde, he says. That Krishna himself does not understand his smile. Sometimes Uddhava goes to take Krishna to the assembly in the morning. When he goes there and chariot is ready to take Krishna there. So Uddhava goes to inform Krishna to come. When he goes there, Krishna is standing in front of the mirror and looking at the mirror. His own beauty. He's enjoying looking at the mirror. Krishna's beauty, Krishna is enjoying. And that is what it says, Uddhava says here, Vismavadanam susyaja saubhagarde. That his own beauty, Krishna cannot believe it. His own beauty. It is so beautiful. That's all, what it means. And when Krishna smiles, Krishna cannot understand that smile also. How captivating it is, Krishna's smile. It affects everybody. So, that is what he is saying here. That the the thing to understand here is, in this verse, is Lakshmi Devi started dancing in Vrindavanam by her presence, right? With the result was that everyone became wealthy. Everybody feels wealthy and feels, what do they call in the modern days, feel good factor. They were all feeling that, right? Opulences everywhere, no sign of any poverty or shortages, anything, right? To such an extent, they became wealthy. Now, Lakshmi Devi's presence means it's not only material opulences. What it means is the divine nature. Devi Sambhata, that is real Sambhata. Not the material opulences. Devi Sambhata, you understand what that means, what Krishna says, isn't it? Divine nature. In abundance, if it happens, what happens? People become very happy and shanti state, right? So, so Devi Sambhat, divine nature. Devi Sambhat Vimokshaya Nibandhaya Asuri Mata, Bhagavad Gita says that. So, Devi Sambhat is a blessing of Lakshmi Devi. So, if Devi Sambhat is there in society, if it is not there, what will happen is, all the wealth will be used for destruction. If Devi Sambhat is not there, we can see that in the world. When divine nature is not there in the people, all the wealth will be utilized for destruction, giving trouble to others, right? There are a lot of people in this world with a lot of wealth, is it not? But those who don't have Devi Sampatta, what they do is, they use all their wealth for paradroham, for giving trouble to others, right? And very wealthy nations in this world, right? What they do with their wealth? They destroy smaller countries who don't have that much military power. And then they glorify of their success in that, right? So, if the sambhata means wealth, if you are not able to use it for others' benefit, right? Then what that means is Devi Sampatta is missing. In that society, Devi Sampatta is missing. So Devi Sampatta is also required if you want to use the other Sampatta, material opulence, material wealth. If it has to be handled, used properly, behind that you require this Devi Sampatta. We can see that in the world. When there is no Devi Sampatta, it ends up like this, using it for destroying and giving trouble to others, right? So, because in order that Lakshmi Devi to be present and Devi Sampatta to be there, when Devi Sampatta gives up, or means Lakshmi Devi has given up on them, they have become without any opulences. What does that mean? Means that everybody has become poor because of that? No, not that. They are comparing now with Asuric nature and Devi nature. Divine nature and the demonic nature, right? All demons are also very wealthy. They had a lot of wealth. All big demons. Ravana had a lot of wealth. Hiranyakashipu had a lot of wealth, right? They are all very wealthy people. But because Lakshmi Devi's blessing were not there, they used all their wealth. Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, all these personalities, they had a lot of wealth. But because the Devi Sampatta was not there, they used their wealth for troubling others, giving trouble to others. All of them tortured people. Hiranyakashipu did, Kamsa did, Ravana did. So, for auspicious things, to make that wealth auspicious, you require this Devi Sampatta with the wealth. Material wealth is good, but if there is no Devi Sampatta in them, that material wealth is useless. That's what the message coming out, right? Because of that, they didn't have Devi Sampatta, they used their wealth for in the wrong way. So that is why it's specifically spoken here. With Lakshmi Devi's presence, material opulences have increased considerably. Along with that, Devi Sampatta also in the people has increased, right? Which means, when there is no Devi Sampatta in the society, people arguing and quarreling each other, fighting each other, and similarly, envy, pride, things like that, that's all disappeared from the society, right? And they felt happiness, a nice relationship among the members in the community, all these things. And mutually to be considerate to each other and kind and compassionate. So, able to help the other living entities who wanted help. This way, a friendly atmosphere was created by the Devi Sampatta present there. So, they noticed the presence of this Devi Sambhati in Vrindavanam more than any other time. So, so Lakshmi Devi is not only a material thing, Bhaudigam, it's also Adhyatmigam. Both has to be understood. Lakshmi's presence means, right? In this way, through Lakshmi's prasadam, through this Lakshmi Devi's prasadam, Vrindavanam became popular, and through Vrindavanam, Mother Earth also became very popular. So, and they are saying there at that time, and that situation, out of all the places, the best place was Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, right? And Vrindavanam, and that's what saying, Vrindavanam sakibhuvo vidanodikirtim, yad devaki sudapadam bujalabdha lakshmi, govinda venu anumatta mayura mrtyam, prachyadri sanyo paradanya samasta sattvam. Vrindavanam became more famous than the heavenly planets because of this. Lakshmi Devi's presence and Krishna's presence, Vrindavanam became popular, famous in for Mother Earth, and Mother Earth became popular because of Vrindavanam. In other words, no other planet has got the same popularity or fame like the way Mother Earth got because of this, right? So, where Krishna is present, only in such a place, Lakshmi will manifest, right? Because Lakshmi is Krishna's devotee, isn't it? And Lakshmi cannot stay separately from Krishna. So wherever Krishna is present, Lakshmi will be present. And when Lakshmi is present, there will be more material and spiritual progress in that place, right? So when Krishna was playing this flute, right? When Krishna was playing this flute, based on that music, what Krishna was playing, ragam, talam, accordingly, right? The peacocks were dancing, and that was reflecting of Krishna's color, beautiful dark bluish clouds. That is Krishna's color, and the peacocks were reflecting that color. In this way, thinking like that, they were attracted by the flute, playing a flute, the peacocks, and they started dancing. And while they were dancing, they also became absorbed in Krishna completely. And that's what he is saying. Govinda venu manumatta mayura nrityam prekshyadri sanyu barada anya samasta sattvam. Hearing that, they start danced and they stood there and looked at Krishna. And they came running closer to Krishna when they heard the flute, right? Similarly, all the birds in Vrindavanam, they also flew to come closer to Krishna, hearing the sound of the flute. And hearing this flute sound and the dancing of the peacocks, they became stunned, the birds, and they sat there without moving anywhere, right? And in other words, tanmayatvam, that's what it's called. Tanmayatvam means the mind completely getting absorbed in Krishna. It happened throughout the nature. Not only the peacocks and the birds, everybody there in the forest. So they have forgotten their body, and they have forgotten this world as well, and they came to a state of meditation in that way. So this scene, what was experienced in Vrindavanam at that time, in Krishna's presence, only in Vrindavanam you could see, but not in any other planetary systems, out of the 14 planetary systems, right? So, because of that, Mother Earth became more popular than any other planet in this universe. And it became, because of Krishna's presence in Vrindavanam, Mother Earth became, earthly planet became more popular than any other planet in this universe. Then, and similarly, due to Krishna's, that's what he's saying, Govinda Venu Manimatta Mayura Nirtyam, that Bhumi Devi's glories have gone everywhere, spread everywhere. What you find here is this, what you call as Tanmayi Bhavam. Tanmayi Bhavam means that total absorption. That is called a Tanmayi Bhav. Total absorption in that, right? If this has happened to the birds and the animals, how much it must have affected the cowherd boys and others? That's what they are asking, right? So, what an extent it must have ignited in human beings who heard that flute, sound of the flute, right? So, what these verses are saying to us is, how much Krishna has affected them in their life, right? Animals and birds, they don't have any special intelligence to analyze things or to think about. But to this extent, if Krishna has affected them, the animals and the birds, how much it would have affected the human beings? That's what they're asking, right? To such an extent, it had an impact on the society there. So that's what next few other viewers, gopis, are saying. Dhanyasma Muda Matayo Madayo Biharinya Meta Ya Nanda Nandana Mubhata Vijitra Vesham Akarna Venuranidam Sahakrishna Sara Pujam Dadur Virajidam Pranayavalokehi. Those animals, deer, for example, Hiranyam, deer, they are also very fortunate. They don't have any intelligence, special intelligence, right? Why they are fortunate? They are very fortunate. Why? Because when Krishna was going with the Balaram, and playing the flute and moving, deers like music, don't they? They get affected by music. And when they heard the music, they could not control themselves, the deer. They could not control themselves, especially when it came from Krishna's flute, right? And at that time, they have beautiful eyes, the deer. They look at Krishna with their beautiful eyes, appreciating Krishna's flute playing, right? So they kept looking at Krishna with their beautiful eyes, right? And when they were looking at Krishna, and when the flute came, the sound of the flute came, it entered into their ear, their mind also became one with Krishna. Initially the eyes fell, seeing Krishna's beauty. The eyes fell for Krishna's beauty. They have beautiful eyes. And with that beautiful eyes they saw Krishna, and they got trapped through the eyes. When they heard the flute, the mind also got trapped in that, right? So, in this way, they got stunned in one place. They stood there and looked at Krishna, right? In this way, they were, and they also got husband and wife among them, among the deer also. So, they were also standing there, both of them, looking at Krishna and hearing the flute, right? This is in respect to Hariṇyam. Dhanyasma Moda Madayobi Hariṇyam Eta Ya Nanda Nandana Mubhata Vijitra Vesham. Then he is saying there that this Vesham, when the with this love, the deer female members, they felt, right? When they were looking at Krishna like that, the husbands didn't complain. It's like that. Husbands didn't complain. Normally husbands didn't complain, but here husbands didn't complain. Otherwise, if they stood and looked at somebody else, the husbands will complain. But here they didn't, right? So, even though they don't have the intelligence like the human beings, if the mind, if they don't welcome Krishna with your mind, right, that will be very unfortunate. But they were so fortunate that they were able to see Krishna through the eyes, and they were able to absorb in Krishna's beauty through the mind, and that was their way of expressing their devotion to Krishna. And Krishna, responding to that, looked at them in the same way and reacted to that. Yeah. So, gopis are saying is that even though they don't have that intelligence like human being has got, even though they don't have it, but still they, by looking at Krishna and getting attracted to Krishna and able to absorb their mind in Krishna in this way, even though they don't have the knowledge or the bhakti, what would have for the human beings, they don't have that. So even without knowledge, even without bhakti, somehow or the other, they were able to engage their senses in Krishna. How fortunate are they? Gopis are asking. Which is a big thing, isn't it, when you think about it. That people with, in order to understand Krishna consciousness, you have to study books, practice sadhana, and then one day by Krishna's mercy you may get some experience of Krishna consciousness. These fortunate animals, deer, who don't have the intelligence to study shastram, who don't have sadhana, who don't have any understanding of the knowledge of the self, nothing, they, by their very good fortune alone, they got the opportunity to enjoy, engage their eyes, and mainly, more than anything else, their mind through this flute in Krishna. This is their good fortune. That's what that verse is saying. Dhanyasma Modam Adayobi Harinya Medha Ya Nanda Nandanam Upata Vijitra Vesham Agarne Venurinidam Saha Krishna Saram Pujam Dadhur Virajidam Pranayava Lokehi. That means that heart, knowledge, who gave it to them? Krishna has given it to them. That in spite of, they didn't have that Vishesha Buddhi, what human beings have got, they didn't have it. So without that Vishesha Buddhi, what human being has got, these deer animals have managed to get attached to Krishna in that way, right? How fortunate they are, that's what they are saying there. Agarna Venuranidam Saha Krishna Sara Pujam Dadur Virajidam Pranayava Lokehi. And then next verse he says, where some other gopis are saying, this is all, gopis are evaluating Krishna's flute, what we call as the Venugidam. Right, yeah. Krishnam Nirikshya Vanidolsava Rupashilam Shutvajadal Kanidavenu Vijitra Gitam Devyo Vimana Gadaya Smaranun Nasara Brashel Prasuna Kabara Mohur Vinir Vyam. Here, that women from the heavenly planets, they are dressed up very well according to their standard, right? They have come to Vrindavanam to see Krishna performing these pastimes, right? And they were also affected by the beauty of Krishna's flute. And due to the sweetness of that playing of the flute, they were attracted to Krishna. And they were also stunned by the beauty of Krishna's playing flute, right? And in that process, they became affected by that. Their hair has also become loose, and they didn't know about their own clothes, what they were wearing were become loosened, and they have forgotten this world, and even they from the heavenly planets who have come, they also stood there stunned by hearing the flute of Krishna, playing the flute, right? All these different verses, what is it showing to us? It shows to us that in bhakti, at some stage, tanmayatvam will have to happen. That tanmayi bhav means mind becomes totally absorbed in Krishna and not moving away from that. We try very hard through dhyanam, yoga, dhyanam process, chanting process, everything. We are trying to focus on Krishna and to get the mind fixed in Krishna. But it doesn't work. It falls away. When you see the deity, you remember, but then some other mind's nature is like that. Some other thoughts come and everything trips. Even while chanting, while doing deity worship, while dressing the deities, whatever you are doing in the deity service also, or even other sadhana processes, even while reading Srimad Bhagavatam, every time the mind goes away to other places, right? And it is very difficult to bring that mind back and focus on Krishna. 2 hours you chant it, but only after 2 hours you realize, oh, I was thinking about all the other things. That's how mind is, the very nature of the mind, isn't it? So tanmayi bhavam, that tanmayatvam, what they call it here, is not possible unless Krishna himself allows us to do that. That means the vichevam inside has to go completely. And these deer and peacocks and all the animals, birds, all of them, they had the good fortune of getting that state of consciousness, tanmayi bhavam, without any effort, simply by hearing Krishna's flute. So that tanmayi bhavam, how that happens in different living entities, in birds, in animals, in plants, in trees, everything. That tanmayi bhavam happening is what is spoken here in different verses. And that is spoken by different gopis about different personalities, right? So, that tanmayi bhavam, what it is pointing out to us is that one side it is Krishna's beauty, unusual beauty, and another one is Krishna's playing the flute. These two things. How these two things attracted all types of living entities to Krishna, and they all became stunned by these two things. One, Krishna's beauty, the other one, the sound of the flute. So, and that affected not only birds, animals and plants and cowherd boys and the gopis here, even the women from the higher planets, they were affected by that. So in this way, that tanmayi bhavam, what they call it as, bhavanmayi, and with that, their mind was so absorbed in that, and they stood there looking at Krishna in that way. And due to that, they were affected. And what happened to the women from the heavenly planets? That's what is mentioned there. Their hairs all start getting looser. And their clothes were getting looser. And they didn't know what was happening. All this is spoken in this way to say to us how far they were absorbed in Krishna. That absorption, that is called tanmayi bhava. One with Krishna, that feeling, that realized state they were experiencing, that they didn't exist separately. That's what tanmayi bhava means. That ahankaram has completely gone from inside, and they realize that only antaryami exists. Krishna is that antaryami. Because that antaryami, in all this leela, what you will find at the end is antaryami coming out and performing pastimes. And they getting absorbed in that antaryami and the effect of that in them. That's what you see there. So all of them, what has happened to them is, seeing Krishna and absorbed in Krishna like that, their very existence as jiva has gone from them. They are not thinking in terms of a person themselves. Individuality, ahangaram, vyaktitva, abhimanam, everything left them. And they have become actually one with the Antaryami. That oneness they felt in that relationship. Yeah. So that means the intensity is very high intensity, right? So actually one who is doing sadhana in this world, if the sadhana is intensified, if you get very intense in sadhana, at a certain stage, the person who is doing sadhana, he will forget his own body and he will forget everything else in this world also, right? So it is at that time he will be able to realize Krishna as his very self, Antaryami inside, right? So, so when a yogi is, for example, or jnani is, or great devotees, when they enter into samadhi state, this is what happens to them. So these fortunate persons here in Vrindavanam, without any effort, Krishna has given them that experience, samadhi state. They experience that, right? So, and when they entered into samadhi, right? When they entered into samadhi, great personalities, Mahalpas you're talking about, right? When they entered into samadhi as ordinary people, they've gone into samadhi state. But when they come back from samadhi, they come out as guru, jagat gurus or rishis. In this way they would have changed, provided you have gone through that samadhi state. That's what samadhi does. Once they come through that samadhi state, they would have become a very powerful spiritual personality after they have experienced that. Yeah. So, Gavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgada Venu Gidam Piyusha Muttabhida Karnabudai Pibandhyaha Shavasnuda Stanabaya Kavalasmatastur Govindam Alpani Drisha Ashrukala Sprashandhyaha. Impact of Krishna's flute on everybody was different. Cows, different. Cowherd boys, different. Peacocks, different. Birds, different. Trees, different. Plants, different. Everybody had a different experience through that. What was happening to them is spoken. Cows were eating the grass, right? When the flute, sound of the flute came to the cows and they started hearing that, they lifted their head and they couldn't further eat the grass again. They had to stop eating the grass. Why? The sound has affected them. Krishna's flute. Right? Ears are considered to be like the pots. With those pots, they were drinking the nectar. With these pots, they were drinking the nectar. Without, they wanted to hear everything, the full sound, without losing anything. And that way they relished it. They enjoyed that, right? And then they became so silent and they stood in one place and they kept looking at Krishna when this flute touched their ears, right? The sound of the flute, right? And through the eyes they kept looking at Krishna's beauty. And they were trying to take Krishna inside through their eyes. They were swallowing Krishna inside, right? And that is their Tanmayi Bhav, their oneness with Krishna, the cows. They were looking at Krishna, seeing Krishna's beauty and hearing the sound of the flute. They stood there stunned. There are some pictures drawn about this. Yeah, you can see, I think it's in the Krishna book, that how different entities felt when they heard the flute, sound of the flute, right? Sometimes the calves were drinking the milk from the mother,
right? When the mother cow, right? And that is when the sound came while they were drinking the milk, right? And some of the cows were eating the grass. With that, all that stopped. They have stopped everything, right? Because this Krishna has entered inside. Remember earlier it was spoken that, isn't it? Antaryami, when it comes out, the one who is inside all of us, from whom all the happiness comes to us, has taken a form and came outside. That's Krishna. The one from whom we get all the happiness, that source, has taken a form and came outside. It is spoken clearly in the Brahma Sutra that who is Krishna, isn't it? That particular word, Krishna menam avehitvam. That is why that verse was spoken. Parikshit asks a question to make Parikshit understand that what you are seeing, who is it? Who is Krishna? Krishna menam avehitvam alpanam aghilalpanam jagaddidaya sopyatra dehiva bhadi mayaya. That you don't see the form alone. Actually, you should see Krishna this way. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, you should see him in this way, he said. Not don't see him that mayaya form that has come. Dehiva bhadi mayaya. That maya form is not the important one. It is this antaryami taking a form and coming out. And that is what is giving you all the pleasure to everybody. And that gopis enjoyed for one whole year. All the cows enjoyed for a whole year. The parents also enjoyed for a whole year. Krishna gave them that happiness. What Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj enjoying at home, Krishna gave their happiness to all the cowherd boys, cowherd men, and the gopis, and the cows. He himself expanded in that form during the Brahma Vimohana Leela, that pastime. Well, it's the same. So, actually what happened, that experience Krishna is giving to the gopis in the forest and to all the other living entities also in the forest. Yeah. So, due to that Krishna avesham, Krishna entered inside, right? They were looking at it and they have forgotten everything. The grass is in the mouth, but they are not able to chew it anymore. They are standing there and looking at Krishna. Similarly, the calves are drinking the milk. They have stopped drinking after hearing the sound of the flute, right? They have forgotten everything. Unable to drink the milk, unable to chew the grass, and they stopped all that and they stood silently, right? Because why? Through their eyes they saw the form, Krishna's form, right? And they took that form inside them. It came inside and within the heart they embraced that form, and due to that they became that Bhagavanmayam or Tanmayatvam happened to them. Mind getting absorbed in that form, which is a difficult thing normally, not possible easily. It is for that purpose only the temples have been built, all the deities have been put in there, to get the mind absorption in that form, for that purpose only, right? So they have forgotten this world, they have forgotten the body, everything. One thing is important, without the help of the mind, we can't do anything, isn't it? Mind is required for everything, right? So even while drinking milk, if you want to drink milk, you need the mind behind it. And because the mind was absorbed in Krishna, the drinking milk stopped. Mind was absorbed in Krishna, eating the grass stopped, right? They have forgotten to chew the grass. Grass is standing in the, is staying in the mouth and they're standing there, right? So, lot of grass fell off from the mouth, right? And similarly, milk also flew away, fell away from the mouth, right? So, that is what, that tanmayi bhava, that means this becoming oneness with Krishna inside the mind. That means mind is not existing anymore separately. Mind has become one with Krishna. Total absorption in Krishna. That tanmayi bhava, what happened to all of them, is Venugita. If you look at Venugita, from beginning to end, every verse, if you take and look at it, how Krishna's playing flute, created this Tanmayi Bhava oneness with Krishna in all the living entities who are present there. Right? So, what else that means? It means identification with the body has gone. Sharira Vismriti. There, when this Tanmayi Bhavam happens, bodily identification leaves us, right? And with that bodily identification, once it leaves you, you leave the identification with the world as well. Loga Vismriti. Both happens. Sharira Vismriti and Loga Vismriti. Both has happened to them. And that is what is spoken in all these verses, right? If the animals and birds and trees have reached that state, you can imagine to what extent the human beings would have experienced that. Because they don't have the same capacity what the human, according to our creation. According to creation, Brahmavalokadishanam Udamapa Deva. Only in the human body you can get to that state. But even animals and birds have reached that state. Shiva Brahmashi is saying, what would have been the state of realization of the human beings who are associating with Krishna? In other words, trying to tell us what state of consciousness the gopis had. What a higher level they have reached, the gopis have reached. Right? So that is what he is saying here. Next verse, Gavascha. Gavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgada Venugidam Piyushamuttabida Karnabudai Pibandhyaha Shavasnuda Sanabayakabala Asmatastur Govindam Almani Disha Ashrugala Asprishandhyaha. That. We will continue that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadayal Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.